Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Richard Palmer, and I'm standing in for Dr. Michael Melker, who was scheduled to give this presentation. In fact, he was scheduled to give two presentations in today's session. And unfortunately, Dr. Melker is in Africa on a USAID project, and he was a graduate student of mine, and I said, I just couldn't have him not show up, so I'm standing in his place. And another current doctoral student of mine is standing in his place for the second presentation, Ms. Anamika Batra, which will follow my presentation. First, I want to apologize that, for the content here, if I misspeak, because again, this is Mike's presentation, and there is a possibility that I may not completely understand everything that he wanted to communicate to you today. So, you know, the session today is about chronic disease in older adults, and we all know that chronic disease are quite prevalent among older adults. Currently, there are about 39 million older adults, 65 and older, in the United States. 80% have at least one chronic disease, and 75% have comorbidities. So we're dealing, as one ages, it's expected that one develops, or it's not expected, or it's not hoped for, but often it is true that as you get older, you end up developing a chronic disease that you have to manage. For Hispanics, there are a considerable number, there's some disparities. They suffer disproportionately from diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Additionally, they're more likely to experience greater disease severity. Further, experience disparities in quality of health care. And even more noteworthy, they rate general health worse than non-Hispanic whites. So just a little overview. Mike was going to give a presentation of a larger initiative that I'm overseeing in South Florida, which is the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative. And part of the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative was offering evidence-based health promotion programs to older adults 55 and older in South Florida, which consists of Broward County. We all know Broward from the Haines-Chad incidents a couple years ago. Miami-Dade. Hopefully. And, Florida is a swing state again. And Monroe Counties, which is known notoriously for the Keys. So specifically, Mike was focusing on chronic disease programs. He's looking at chronic disease self-management programs for his presentation here. Well, the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program was developed in 1999 by Kate Lorick, and she's at Stanford. It's designed to be appropriate for all chronic diseases. It consists of six 2.5-hour class sessions once a week, and it's a mixed-mode instructional method. Includes didactic lecturing, modeling, role-playing, discussion, and action planning. The topics are vast. Managing thoughts and emotions about one's chronic disease, managing pain and fatigue, diet choices, physician communication and interaction, relaxation techniques, managing medication, problem solving for chronic disease, future healthcare planning, communication skills, and physical activity exercise. The focus of the presentation today is on chronic disease self-management and Tamando Control D. Sue Salute. It was developed because of differential effectiveness among Hispanic CDSMP participants. Same delivery method as the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. And throughout the presentation, I'll probably abbreviate Chronic Disease Self-Management and just say CDSMP and for Tamando Control, TC. But in addition, Tamando Control had additional topics that included reading nutritional labels, menu planning, low-fat food options, and healthier cooking options. So one of the things that we noticed in the larger program or the larger evaluation of the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative Initiative was that there was considerable amount of attrition from individuals from these evidence-based programs that the collaborative offered. And if you think about it, attrition is a real These agencies spend a considerable amount of time and money in delivering these programs, and for individuals not to achieve or reach the full benefit because they somehow fall out, it's not a very cost-effective. So what we do know about factors that affect likelihood of program completion is that individuals with greater self-efficacy, gender, females are more likely to complete a health promotion program. Age, those who are 55 to 65 are more likely to complete versus those who are older. Socioeconomic status, those who are poor are less likely to complete. Education level, those with less education are more likely are less likely to complete. Marital status, those, and this is a surrogate for social support, but those who have people in their lives are more likely to complete, and of course health. Those with poorer health are less likely to complete health promotion programs for older adults. So here, this is the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative I spoke about. It's a five-year initiative funded by the Health Foundation of South Florida targeting older adults. The program targets individuals who are 55 years and older. So the Chronic Disease and Tomato Control, also now known as the Stanford Self-Management Program, were one group of two programs that were offered as part of the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative. In addition, the collaborative offered fall prevention programs, physical activity programs, and now even a walking program. So in all, it's truly a collaborative. 21 agencies offered either Tomando Control or Chronic Disease Self-Management. And then within the agencies, there were multiple sites that offered these programs throughout South Florida. The most important part about the collaboration, or the collaborative, was that it focused on best methods and was used to share resources to reduce implementation barriers of these chronic disease programs or of the evidence-based programs. Actually, I'll be giving a talk tomorrow specifically on the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative at about 9 o'clock, so I hope to see you there. So Mike's research question was, what variables predict program completion? So he wanted to know, basically, is there a difference between chronic disease self-management program and Tomando Control? We thought that we would analyze these programs separately because, you know, one was culturally targeted, and it didn't seem appropriate to analyze both programs together. So data was obtained from individuals who participated in a chronic disease workshop from October 2008 to December 2010. The exclusion criteria for Mike's study was that individuals who were less than 55 years of old were excluded from analysis, as well as individuals who had age that was missing from the data collection form. A completer for Mike's analysis was an individual who attended four or more of the six workshop sessions. So if you attended less than four, you were defined as a non-completer. The primary mode of analysis for Mike's study was the multivariate logistic regression. He tested his model using the likelihood ratio test, and he also looked for goodness of fit. So here's the chronic disease sample for Mike's program. So in all, between October 2008 and December 2010, 1,627 individuals participated in a chronic disease or a Tomando Control workshop, chronic disease workshop. Of that, eligible 1,356 individuals, with 271 individuals being excluded. In terms of completers versus non-completers, 283 individuals were non-completers, where the majority of participants attended four or more sessions, 1,073. The attrition rate was 20% or 21%. Time is just flying. Let me move on. And just noteworthy is that my experience evaluating all of the evidence-based programs is that attrition always runs about 20 to 25%. So, you know, we're losing about a quarter of the sample or a quarter of participants for all of these evidence-based programs. So basically, given I have limited time, I'll just go through this here. These were the the variables that were entered into his model, county of residence, disability status, education level, number of chronic diseases, self-efficacy to manage. In addition, he included age, gender, and education to control for confounding factors. But for the chronic disease self-management model, he found that no covariate predicted program completion. For Tamanda control, if we look at the sample, about 1,100 individuals participated, about 1,000 were eligible. Again, the difference between completer and non-completer was about a 21% attrition. Again, it was low, and attrition was 21%. Again, similar to chronic disease self-management, county of residence, income, number of in-household self-efficacy, and social role activity limitations were entered into the model, plus controlling for age, education for other confounders. And in this model, Mike found that being male was a significant predictor of program completion. County of residence and living alone were significant complete, which is opposite from the literature. So for the chronic disease self-management model, no significant variable was identified, and perhaps we're thinking that because the differences that those who were completers and non-completers were just too homogeneous, that there wasn't enough variation in the model. There were significant findings for gender and number in household for the Tremondo control model. And the last point here is that although, you know, in his study, Mike didn't find too many predictor variables, there are a considerable number of predictor variables in the literature. So we don't want to undermine the literature. You know, we want to also say that there are limitations of this study. And the limitations, of course, self-selection, self-report bias, recall bias, and missing data. One thing on a practical note that I'll speak about tomorrow is that obtaining data from older adults is very difficult and tends to lend to a lot of missing data. And I'll explain some of the challenges we've had and ways to overcome those challenges in tomorrow's presentation. So in conclusion, knowledge of correlates of completion can help delivering agencies target participants for retention strategies. Again, if you're losing a quarter of your participants, that's a lot of energy that's not being directed where it could. In South Florida, Tamanda control participants who are male, reside in Broward County, and live alone are twice as likely to complete the program. So study findings should be considered for monitoring and piloting retention strategies by agencies currently offering programs. And it's seen as a starting point to guide future research using other populations. Future research. Definition of a completer. We didn't arbitrarily choose, but it seemed that the literature arbitrarily chose for the distinction of four or more classes or less than four classes. So I think there's more science needed to understand who can really be classified as a completer. And that really lends to, you know, this dose response question. You know, evaluate a dose response relationship for number of program workshops attended. Identify which of the six workshops have the greatest impact on program outcomes. Again, the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program and Tamanda Control have various educational components, but are any specific components more important than others to making a significant impact? And additionally, further investigate identified covariates to help direct retention strategies. Lastly, you know, I want to thank the Health Foundation of South Florida for funding the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative. I want to acknowledge all the membership agencies of the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative, and I want to provide the website for the Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative that has all the information of what South Florida has done to improve the health of older adults. The presentation, the slides are available online. Thank you. The trainers?
The people that ran the
leaders.
The leaders. In our fidelity The master trainer, so for those of you who know the chronic disease model, is that you have master trainers and then you have workshop leaders, and the master trainers train the workshop leaders. The model that we use to observe fidelity is that once a leader was trained, the master leader would eventually observe classes, and individuals, leaders who had deficits were retrained. So we think that there was high fidelity in actual program implementation in terms of leadership. Yes?
When you saw location as a reason for completion, are you applying proximity to the location where the class is given, or just simply where the people come from?
So basically how the analysis was done is that Mike took, South Florida is made of Broward County, Miami-Dade, and Monroe. Miami-Dade is predominantly Hispanic. Broward, there's more diversity in Broward. So for, he found that for individuals who lived in Broward, that they were more likely to complete the program. And that's the question we're asking. We don't really understand that variable. Whereas individuals within Miami, you know, individuals who lived in Miami weren't really less likely to complete the program. So I think it's just one of those spurious results that doesn't have too much value. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.